Welcome to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is Thursday, February 19th, and we have some great conversations ahead of us. We're going to talk about the National Lutheran Youth Workers Conference here in just a little bit. Hope you can stick around for that conference. And coming up in the second half, we're going to talk about some family ideas for Lent, activities that your family can do during the season of Lent to help you reflect on the text for the season and the theme of the season as well. Hope you can join us for that as well in the second half of the program. I want to say thanks to our underwriter, Concordia University, Wisconsin, and for supporting this program. You can find out more about Concordia University, Wisconsin on our website. Go to kfuo.org, look for the CUW logo in the sponsor section there. You'll find more information about Concordia University, Wisconsin. And give them a shout out. Say thanks for supporting Faith and Family on Worldwide KFUO. Joining me in studio this morning, the Reverend Mark Kiesling. What's your official title now?
Interim director.
Interim director. Youth Ministry, Office of National Mission here at the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Mark, glad to have you back in studio today.
Well, thank you for having us.
It's been a few weeks. Almost a couple of months since we've talked, so it's good to get you back in the studio here today and hear what's going on. Today, I'm excited. We're going to talk about National Lutheran Youth Workers Conference. Very exciting. Also joining us in studio today, Jolene Seberth, DCE at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in St. Charles, Missouri. Good morning, Jolene.
Good morning.
Good to have you in studio.
Thank you.
It's been at least a decade probably since we've seen each other face to face. Well, had a chance to sit down and talk face to face. I think we've passed at conferences or so.
Mm-hmm. Long time.
Yeah. Jolene and I, Mark, I don't know if you know this, Jolene and I were in the same DCE class at Concordia River Forest.
Sure, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay, very
so,
good.
So we got to study together back at good old Concordia River Forest, now Concordia Chicago. Yeah, going back there, I get to go back there at the beginning of March, Northern Illinois District Convention. Mm-hmm. Are you going too, Mark?
I'm not attending that one, but I saw that they're going to be on campus. That's great.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I'll be on campus there broadcasting live. Looking forward to doing that. We're going to host Faith and Family from there as well as His Time. So go back to those old stomping grounds and hang out with the Northern Illinois District folks. Joining us by phone this morning, also Craig Kashubi, Director of Youth and Family Life at St. John's Lutheran Church in Grand Haven, Michigan. Craig, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Hey, thanks for having me on, and thanks to KFUO and Youth Ministry Office for all the great job that you guys do.
Well, thanks. We haven't even done anything yet, and you're already thanking us. Well, I am excited about talking about National Lutheran Youth Workers Conference, also known as National. All the materials are describe it as National. That's the name. Mark, what is National Lutheran Youth Workers Conference?
The National Lutheran Youth Workers Conference is a conference coming up in July, 12th through the 15th of 2015. It's a conference for youth ministry practitioner, whether those are called church workers, pastors, DCEs, deaconesses, directors of family life, lay ministers that are serving in the parish, and also volunteer practitioners in youth ministry. We also have a youth track that I can talk more about mm-hmm. later. That's a part of that too. So youth 18 and younger are invited to attend as well. They have certainly connect in many parts of the program for National with everyone, but they also have their individual training that they do. And so it's a great time to connect with our Lutheran Youth Fellowship training. We do National in the city of the host city for the National Youth Gathering, which mm-hmm. in 2016 is New Orleans. So in July of this year, we'll also be in New Orleans. And so it's a great time not only for just general youth ministry practitioning, formational pieces and learning and training, but then it's also a time to get connected with the gathering host city for those who will be attending in 2016. So there's always a little parts of that we'll do mm-hmm. tours of the downtown area. We'll go to the facilities that'll be hosting the youth gathering. We're doing a special event related to the youth gathering. So there's a strong connection there, but certainly the conference itself is kind of a standalone youth ministry training event too.
Now, I understand it's happening in July, which is the same time as the National Correct. Youth Gathering. However, this would have been a great week to go to New Orleans.
It would have been. Just hearing your weather report is like, that sounds pretty good right now. And certainly New Orleans in July can be a little more warm than what it is even today, as you know.
it's hot and humid here in July as well, so it doesn't matter. That's what I'm saying. Now would be a good time to go. We need to bump that up a little bit. Uh-huh. Now, Jolene, what is your involvement with National?
Sure. As part of the team for National, I coordinate the workshops. So all of the small group times that people are able to come together and learn from a variety of different topics, whether it's mm-hmm. about the National Youth Gathering itself or topics of interest that they would like to grow in.
Very good. And Craig, what is your involvement with National?
Yeah, I've attended the last four Nationals and registered for the fifth, and I come as a full-time church worker to be refueled and see what Synod is working with. And so I come as a church worker coming to learn and grow.
Very good, very good. Now, how are things in Grand Haven, Michigan today? Would this be a good day to go to New Orleans as well?
Oh, it'd be great. It was about -1 this morning with about 8 inches of snow. I enjoy it.
You enjoy it. Okay. Well, we'll let you enjoy it. Now, Mark, you mentioned a long list of people who might attend National. Basically, anyone who cares about youth or who works in caring for youth in the church and in connecting them with God's gifts in the church.
Correct. And so, again, it's really a standalone conference for being trained in that. And certainly, obviously, the topics that Julian can even talk more about specific workshop topics, but obviously we get into family ministry, confirmation. CPH is there, so they're there to talk about the resources that they provide. Everything from we have someone speaking on rural youth ministry, so the different contexts in which people come in the Synod and across the church body. So it really is focusing on different youth ministry topics with, again, an opportunity, as Craig said, for just the youth worker themselves to be have time to relax and refresh, connect with other youth workers, share their ideas, and be encouraged in the work that they do as well. So there's really multiple facets of things that happen at the conference. A great network and community comes out of it as far as people are able to kind of glean ideas and able to share and encourage one another.
What are some of the workshops, Julian? I know this isn't until July, so things are probably still in the works. What can you share with us about some of the workshops coming up this year at National?
Sure. We have some focusing specifically on the National Youth Gathering, including Youth Gathering 101 for people to learn about anything particular to this coming Youth Gathering. We have someone presenting on navigating the gathering, which is so awesome for people who have never attended one, have never led a group. It can get a little overwhelming.
Do you have an app with GPS?
We should. Thanks for that idea.
Writing that down.
That's what I'm here for.
How to not lose teens, that kind of thing. That could be a good app too. We also have, as Mark mentioned, we have one focusing on rural ministry, small church ministry, and some challenges and blessings that arise with ministry in that context. We have one on lifelong faith development, fundraising, raising up church workers, youth and family ministry. We have one on the case for Christianity and postmodernism. So a wide variety.
That is. Now, all interesting topics that certainly get my attention. I'm sure that of others. Craig, what has been the draw for you? What has brought you back to National each time that you've gone?
First of all, that it is provided by the Youth Ministry Office. I look forward to it every 3 years and budget for it within the church budget, so I have the opportunity to go. I look forward to getting to talk face-to-face with other people in ministry if they are full-time or lay people, and then taking those relationships further as we all go back to our hometowns and work with ministry and the day-to-day life. And being able to get to know the gathering team and get a heads up on the city and all the planning that they put in for that. So it's a nice heads up before you take a team of youth to get your bearings on the city and the facilities that are used for National Youth Gathering.
Okay, let's reflect on the first time that you took a group to the National Youth Gathering, Craig. Had you gone to National, the Youth Workers Conference, before going to the Youth Gathering?
I didn't. I was hired in October, and the gathering was in that following summer. So the first time I went as a full-time church worker, I didn't have a heads up on what Orlando looked like. So that pushed me into going to National in the future.
So it certainly has been helpful. Jolene, let's talk about your experience as a church worker, not necessarily on the planning team, but as a church worker going to National Youth Gathering and attending National. What was your experience like taking a group for the first time to the National Youth Gathering?
Sure. Well, goodness, when was the first time? I think the first time I actually took a group would have been in 2001. And I don't think we had National that year, did we?
It was Click then, I believe.
Click. Congregating of Lutheran Youth Counselors.
Yes, so it's a little different name. Yeah. Uh-huh.
I remember that. Mm-hmm. I went to the one in Louisville.
Okay, great.
That was a long time. Okay, now I've just revealed how long I've been around.
So in taking a group back in 2001, I learned a lot that first year, and it, looking at national now, it would have been so helpful to have that lay of the land, walk around, figure out where restaurants were, figure out game plans before showing up with 30,000 other teenagers and adults to navigate the city. So
30,000 of your closest friends.
Yeah, they do become your closest friends.
So National Youth Gathering is a pretty big event. Having this opportunity a year in advance to go explore the area, to get an idea of where things are happening, give you a visual, makes you probably a little more confident when you're taking a group of young people, when you're taking children that are the children of other people that are not your children and who are entrusted to you for that time. Certainly gives you that confidence. What is, Mark, what's the theme this year for National? And absolutely, I assume that carries over into the gathering as well.
Well, the theme for the youth gathering is In Christ Alone We Stand. And
yes,
partly that's connected to the overall triennial theme that the Synod's using leading up to 2017 and the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. So we at National are focusing really on the stand part of that. And so kind of that again, that triennial theme. And so we're coming together understanding with the words restored, confirmed, strengthened, and established. And that's from 1 Peter 5:10. So those are kind of the words that we're going to be focusing on our plenary and some of the sub-themes that we'll be doing. And then really kind of gearing us towards, again, the both overarching piece of stand for the Reformation, but then also In Christ Alone in 2016 for the youth gathering.
And how does the schedule work out for this event? I noticed something rather creative. Was this the first time you guys took that approach?
It is. So traditionally, National has been a Thursday through Sunday event, closing on Sunday morning. And some of the reaction, you know, Jolene would get it from participants who were there, and we'd hear from others in our evaluation processes. We had professional church workers who would say, you know, why are you taking us out of our congregations on a Sunday? We got a lot of other things happening in the summer. It's tough for us to be away. And we also had our volunteer lay people who were saying, hey, this is a perfect schedule. I can't take more than 2 days off of work because I'm taking vacation time to be here.
Sure.
That it works for me to fly in on a Wednesday night, have Thursday and Friday in the city. So what we did is we tweaked things a little bit to where the conference is Sunday through Wednesday with program on all four of those days. However, on Monday and Tuesday is when we'll have all four of our plenaries and really the core of the program, if you will, with workshops on Sunday and Wednesday that will essentially mirror each other. So now you can come in through Sunday through Wednesday if that works in your schedules and basically take in additional workshop opportunities, but yet you'd still have a full conference by either coming on Sunday and leaving Tuesday night or coming in and starting Monday through Wednesday that you'd be able to take in a large number of our workshop opportunities. And then Sunday morning we're going to be connecting with the local New Orleans congregation. Might have a unique experience of taking a streetcar to church, and so that'll be kind of unique for people who are in early. And so we will have those opportunities to worship and things. But again, for those who need to be home by Tuesday night to be at work at Wednesday, they can still get the full conference in by coming in early. But then also for those that need to be in their congregations on Sunday morning, they can arrive Sunday night or Monday morning for the conference.
Very good. So then that really the peak times when everyone will be there then Monday and then Monday and Tuesday is really the full
correct
day.
So right now, this may need to be tweaked a little bit. We're looking at the opening plenary being at 10 o'clock on Monday morning, and then the last plenary being at early afternoon on Tuesday so that they can still catch flights Tuesday afternoon into evening to return home.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Very good. Mm-hmm. As a church worker, Jolene, does this sound like something that'll work really well for your schedule?
I think so. Well, I'll be there the whole time.
You'll be there the whole time.
But I think having those options to come in on Sunday or come in on Monday and leave at different times is a good way to be flexible with everyone's schedules. So,
Craig, how about you? Does this work well for your schedule?
Yeah, this new approach is fantastic. I'm planning on, well, I already have my flights coming in first thing Sunday morning, and so I'm going to take the workshops on Sunday, and then I'm leaving Tuesday night. So I'm taking the early approach to what's being offered.
Sure. That's great. That allows flexibility for even for the church workers who could be away on Sunday. That's great. Well, glad to hear that. I gather that came from some feedback from previous conferences.
It came from evaluation, and it was interesting that we were hearing the exact opposite reaction from two groups of our participants, because it's about a 50-50 split. 50% lay volunteer, 50% called church worker or full time in the parish. So it was really interesting to get that feedback from both sides, and like, well, let's really try to find a way to make that work. And so that seemed to work best to take advantage of Sunday as a potential travel day following church, but then yet also get an opportunity for lay volunteers to only have to miss 2 days of regular mm-hmm. weekday work time.
Well, that's mm-hmm. great. I noticed some districts are starting to do that with some of their events mm-hmm. as well that allow for those differing schedules.
They'll make for a good packed, you know, 24 plus hours, but we'll get it in. So.
And it's just more time in New Orleans
right.
for you guys.
Yeah, right.
What will leaders gain? We talked about being in that environment where the national gathering is going to happen. What are some of the things that leaders will gain from this conference?
Sure. So like Jolene said, is myself and Krista Miller, who's the registrar, we run a workshop that really we try to get spots for that. Anyone who's going to attend a youth gathering can attend that workshop. And we'll probably run them on Sunday, maybe even do one towards the end on Wednesday for those who are still there. And really the talk kind of nuts and bolts schedule and registration questions. Mm-hmm. Like Craig said, especially to those who are attending for the first time, just to kind of walk through that process, things to be thinking about, ways that they can be bringing their group together if they're not already, just to get prepared for the next summer. Also, other resources that we have from, I should mention, we have what we call district coordinators for the youth gathering within our LCMS districts. And we mm-hmm. as much as possible, bring them into this event so they can start connecting with adult leaders and youth who will be attending the gathering. So they get to meet their district coordinator if they're in attendance, which is a great opportunity, too, to hear how the district will be using the gathering and doing district events and things within the event. And so then we really talk about those nuts and bolts. And then Julian had mentioned that there's then a workshop that really kind of says, okay, let's go through the flow of the event, kind of just to help with your group dynamics, to be really starting to use those resources to say, this is where, you know, there's going to be the Bible study time, and these are the times when you'll be in your small groups, in your congregational groups, connecting with one another. And then we do some fun things too. So we'll have Krista Miller, the registrar, works with our hotels. She'll probably do an early morning tour of the city, kind of walk them around just some of the logistics mm-hmm. down in that area. I should mention we are at the Astor Crown Plaza, which is a downtown hotel. So great location, close to the facilities, close to all our hotels in the downtown New Orleans area, and she'll be able to walk them down.
And this will be a gathering hotel as well, correct?
This will be a gathering hotel, one of our larger ones. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that'll be a great opportunity, too, for those who might see. I think, you know, when we've done these events before, we'll have people who will come stay at that hotel and say, hey, you know what, Krista, I would love just for this to be my hotel. And because they're familiar with it, they know where the restaurants are at. And so then they'll ask that request mm-hmm. because they know the area. So it's a great time to see the city there, too. And then at some point, too, we will certainly have walks to our facilities, which will be the Mercedes-Benz Superdome, as well as the New Orleans Convention Center, the Montreal Convention Center. And so we'll be able to see a little bit of the logistics too, just so they kind of understand how long the mm-hmm. walks are between facilities and their hotels, and kind of get a lay of the land there too. And it's a great time too. We're actually going to do, for Monday evening, the dinner banquet is going to be on a riverboat cruise.
Cool.
And yeah, so kind of a unique way too, to see the city and a little bit of the culture down in New Orleans.
Sounds like there'll be a bit of walking. Is this a good time to start training?
It is. I'm already kind of starting with this year, started doing that. It's like, okay, it's time to get in shape, time to be ready. Absolutely.
Craig, are you ready for the marathon of this conference and the National Youth Gathering?
I am. Yeah. I've been to quite a few, know what it takes, but it's tiring, but well worth it for the opportunity that we're be able to grow as church leaders this summer, and the opportunity to take a group and grow as a group and have just see the kids just flourish on a mountaintop experience for the National Youth Gathering.
We should get like LCMS running shoes.
I think so.
That would be a great gift at this awesome. Conference, yeah. Don't you think?
Yeah, and we even in the past couple of years have had the kids run a 5K mm-hmm. during the conference. Mm-hmm. So if walking's not enough and they want a few more miles,
Get out and run. Jolene, what are you looking forward to most about National, about the conference coming up this summer?
I love connecting with people. So being at something like National, where you have such a wide variety of people coming in, whether church professionals or lay leaders, it's great to get together and learn a lot from each other.
That opportunity to see people face to face. We talk a lot on Facebook and email and other online sources. We have conversations, share resources and ideas, but to be able to see people face to face, there's certainly value in that. To see that, one, that you're not alone in what you're doing, mm-hmm. in the work that you're mm-hmm. doing, that's certainly encouraging. Mark?
So I'm always amazed to see the relationships that have started or been nurtured through mm-hmm. a conference like National, and they're often connecting someplace else maybe too, or they're at the youth gathering together. together. They're maybe in the same district, so they see each other at district events. So that's always a neat thing to see people who maybe haven't seen each other for a number of months or years and reconnect at an event like National and continue to encourage one another. And certainly, like you said, with social media these days, there's just continuing ways for those relationships to blossom.
Funny story from the predecessor, CLIC, which Congregating Lutheran Youth Counselors, one of the people that I met at CLIC, I was working as a part-time as a youth worker while I was a student in college too, because I was planning on going into church work. And one of the other folks that I met, a young person who was at CLIC, ended up in the dorm. He was one of the residents where I was an RA in the dorm where I was an RA at Concordia University a few years ago. Nice young man. Now he serves as a pastor in Central Illinois. And it's kind of funny what a small world it was, you know. And you're right. You meet those people and you have that connection with them. Mm-hmm. And you end up talking about whatever it is, the area in which you're serving. It's kind of a small world.
Yeah.
But people can be from all over the country.
Right.
You know, all over the world, really.
And that's a fascinating thing, I think, too, about National. I mean, I know Jolene's hitting on it with the workshop, is that it's great, too, is that we have people coming from so many different contexts within youth ministry. Mm-hmm. And, of course, you know, seeing that youth ministry is really this broadening field, looking at family ministry and looking at, you know, young adult college ministry. And so you mm-hmm. really see people who are able to really nurture one another and connect and see the context in which they're coming from. And so it's really a great way to see how the Holy Spirit uses all those conversations and time in God's Word to strengthen one another and really encourage them as they go back to their congregations.
Time in God's Word.
I would add to that mm-hmm. the planning team has done a great job over the years to have relevant topics at the workshops as culture, you know, changes and as different things that the youth are approached with in daily life. So they've done a great job making those workshops very relevant to both full-time church mm-hmm. workers as well as lay volunteers.
Very good. Well, and Craig, will there be any other any volunteers, any other coming with you from your congregation this year?
Not this year. Last time when in New Orleans, I took two of my other adult leaders.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were, I'd say, the A team from our church that we took then, and that was very beneficial for them at that time, and hope to take other volunteers in the future.
Very good. Mark, with just a couple minutes left, we were just starting to talk about the word, where that fits in the schedule. What is we talked about the theme earlier of
right.
this. What are the Bible study and things like that throughout this conference?
Yes. So during our plenary time, mm-hmm. we, you know, if you can kind of visually imagine, we sit at round tables at those so that there's conversation that's happening amongst those people that are in attendance, just to be able to share ideas, encourage one another, be in prayer together. And then during the plenary sessions, we essentially have plenary speaker, keynote speaker per event that are going to be based on then those sub-themes: restored, confirmed, strengthened, and established. One I know is a regular, or I shouldn't say regular, but a guest on your show, Paula Isaacson, with Faith Family Reunion, and so she's going to be one of our speakers. We have Brad Griffin coming in from Fuller Theological Seminary, who's been doing research with Sticky Faith, which is kind of this longitudinal study, looking at all of American Christianity, LCMS churches being a part of that, on kind of what makes for a mature faith for a young person leaving high school into their future adulthood. And so he's going to be talking about kind of some of those factors that they have seen across Christendom in the United States. And as you would obviously see, that one of the key factors is that family ministry, that family life, the parents and the lives of young people. So he'll be talking about that. We'll have other speakers as well. And then Reverend Ryan Peterson, who is a campus pastor and professor at Concordia University in Ann Arbor.
Mm-hmm.
He's our Bible study leader. And so then he'll be taking us through then really, again, those four sub-themes, 1 Peter 5:10 and other scripture, then kind of weaving that together in our time together, as well as we always provide devotional resources and things that the participants can do on their own in both preparation and throughout the event and to take home with them as well.
Very good. Very good.
I really enjoyed that as far as refueling and refreshing my own spiritual growth. So once again, they do a great job with that.
Well, very good. Folks, unfortunately, we are out of time, but thank you all for being my guest today and sharing with us about National. Oh, yeah, we got a point of the website. We almost forgot.
And I want to make one last point is that one thing that we're doing unique as well is that if you register for the National Lutheran Youth Workers Conference as an adult, you receive complimentary registration to the LCMS Youth Gathering in 2016. And right now, the registration rate is $300 for regular adult registration. If you're an adult student, if you're working on your master's or whatever it might be, it's $250. Youth rate is $250. We do have a youth track. You can find that on the website, which is www.nlywc.com, National Lutheran Youth Workers Conference.com.
Very good. Click was easier.
That's right.
So go check it out. We'll provide a link to that as well with the archive of today's program so folks can link directly to that and they can register. What a great deal. If you go to, if you register as an adult for this conference for National this summer, then that gives you a complimentary registration then for the National Youth Gathering coming up next summer. Well, thank you all for being my guests. The Reverend Mark Kiesling, Interim Director of LCMS Youth Ministry in the Office of National Mission. Thanks for being here today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Jolene Seaberth, Director of Christian Education, Emmanuel Lutheran Church in St. Charles, Missouri. Thanks for being our guest today.
Thank you.
And Craig Kashubi, Director of Youth and Family Life at St. John's Lutheran Church in Grand Haven, Michigan. Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Family.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you.
You bet. Coming up in just a little bit, we're going to talk about some family ideas to help your family through the season of Lent. We're going to talk with DCE Jennifer Hills from Alexandria, Virginia. Hope you can join us for that. And Amanda Markle will be back to share some of her family ideas as well. Stick around for more Faith and Family right after this break, right here on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Concordia University, Mequon, Wisconsin, overlooks the beautiful shoreline of Lake Michigan. This serene main campus of CUW is just 15 miles north of Milwaukee, with all its vibrant cultural attractions. At Concordia University, Wisconsin, students living by the motto of Inspiration in Action can choose from 69 undergraduate majors, 14 master degree programs, and doctorates in pharmacy, physical therapy, and nursing practice. For more information or to take a virtual tour, visit cuw.edu.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
You probably recall the election last November when Barack Obama and his party took a shellacking. One of the main points of contention with voters was Obamacare. Every Republican who won campaigned on getting rid of Obamacare. Recently, a vote was taken in the House of Representatives on a bill that would completely repeal Obamacare. And it exposed the short-term memory problem many politicians have. Dumping Obamacare is a good thing because it pays for abortion and rations health care. But even after voters gave candidates an unmistakable message, not one Democrat voted yes on the legislation. It would appear they think it's the voters who have a memory deficit or are too stupid to notice. The next election will allow Americans to drive the point home, and I'll be watching.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.
Welcome back to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates. Joining me by phone today, Jennifer Hills, DCE, Director of Youth and Christian Education at St. John's Lutheran Church in Alexandria, Virginia. Good morning, Jennifer. Good to have you back with us on Faith and Family.
Thank you.
Let's talk about Lent, season of Lent, the church season of Lent coming up very soon. What are some ideas? Well, let's talk about what your family has done in the past during Lent. What are some things that, that you have enjoyed doing as a family during the season of Lent for that reflective season?
Okay. Well, I can tell you what some things that we have encouraged families to do and that we've done in my family. I have small children, so every family is a little different depending on the age of the children, but oftentimes, you know, Lent is a very solemn season, the church year where Christians spend a lot of time reflecting on the sacrifice Christ made. And a lot of times we spend extra time in prayer, fasting, giving, giving to others. And it's a solemn time. And a lot of times Christians have teens often want to give up homework for Lent. That really doesn't.
It's a good
really
try.
It's a good try. It's not really the point of the season of Lent. And so what we like to do is instead of asking people to give something up for Lent, we say, why don't you try to give more during Lent? And so giving can take many different forms. Some things we like to do is encourage families to do serving opportunities. looking for ways they can serve in their community and their congregation. I know in our area a lot of parks have cleanup days on the weekends. They're getting ready for the springtime, especially in like late March. So doing that as a family, looking sometimes volunteering at a food bank, or looking for a lot of places are now hosting these meals where you put meals together to send to other places. A lot of those are really kid friendly. I know my kids have done that and they love it, putting rice in a bag and all the different things. Also, even something just as simple as baking cookies and taking them to your local fire station or your local police station just to thank people for their service. So ways that families can serve is a wonderful way to give more during Lent.
So
go ahead.
So I was going to say, so instead of giving up something, rather taking up something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just in Jesus' name, you know, Christ gave everything for us. You know, he gave his life for us. And so that's what we focus on during Lent. So how can we give to others in response to that wonderful gift that God gave us in his son? And obviously another wonderful thing to do during during Lent is to focus on prayer. And so one thing that we like to do in a family, because I have little kids, like I said, so we have prayer sticks, and we make them every Lent, and it varies each year. Well, this will really only be our second year, so. And basically, prayer sticks are, you know, those really large, like, tongue depressors that the doctor uses. Don't get a used one. You want to get some new ones, and you can find them online in any craft store. And they're wonderful tactile things for little hands who can't sit still, and something for them to hold. And we keep them, like, in a little bucket or a little mason jar. You can keep them at your dining room table. And the kids get to decorate them, and we decide at the beginning of Lent who and what we're going to pray for during the season of Lent. And we can decorate. So if they're people, we can put their names on them or draw pictures on them to symbolize for kids who don't recognize letters and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And then when you pray every night, whether you pray before bedtime or before meals or in the morning at breakfast, whenever your family is all together, your family's different, use those sticks as a reminder to pray for those people. So my kids, before we pray, they like to pick out who they're going to get to pray for that night. And so they can hold those prayer sticks in their hands. And sometimes they fight over who gets to pray for their grandfather, or we have to take turns praying for different people. So we like to do that. And so they get to hold them in their hands while we pray.
Aww.
That's a great image.
Yeah, and I appreciate that you pointed out with young children, especially the, you know, those early childhood years, that the tactile,
right.
You know, the senses like that, that those are helpful. And having things that appeal to that can be helpful, especially in keeping them engaged.
Engaged, right? Another great thing is if you want to take it a step further, praying for people, is while you're praying, if you make a list of 40 people, 40 days in Lent, pick 40 people. This is ambitious here for families with small children or any family, but you can do it. Put some time aside. Make a list of 40 people, and each day pray for somebody on your list. And while you're praying for that person, have your children draw them a picture, either, you know, a note card, a postcard, you know, even like a blank, you know, 8.5 by the little tiny postcards, like the blank, and they can color, and you just stick it in the mail and let them know that they were prayed for. And you send a picture to them from your kids that they drew while you were praying.
Well, that's a great idea.
Yeah.
To have some family time, some family devotional time, and pray for 40 people during those days of Lent. That's a great idea. And then, you know, the kids send him a picture or something else, a letter or note even that they might have prepared for them. That's a great idea.
It keeps them, you know, keeps the kids engaged, keeps the kids. And they love to think about the people in their lives, and they love to pray for them too.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a wonderful way for them to feel connected, and for them to, you know, share Jesus with others.
Yeah, and it reminds them that when we're praying, that we're not just praying for our own needs, but for the needs of mm-hmm. others, that that being a part of the body of Christ and it being a Christian is not just about my own needs. It's not that the God is some big like vending machine where I go with my prayers and, yeah. And it's all about me and getting out what I want,
right.
or what
and
I need.
Exactly. And I will tell you that in our household, there have been times where I have wanted, it's the end of the day, we do it at night before bedtime.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, I just want to put them to bed and have some quiet time, but they will not let me skip prayer time because it's such an important part of them mm-hmm. and of our nightly routine, and they want to spend that time in prayer. So they're little missionaries to their mom.
Well, that's wonderful that that's become an important family tradition for them and for your household. Any other ideas that you have for us during the season of Lent? I love the thing. Anything that would help us encourage us to pray together as a family. I love the prayer sticks, the little craft sticks that you can write notes write names on or draw symbols on them to help them remember.
And you just leave them out like they sit on our dining room table, and mm-hmm. that's just a reminder throughout the whole season of Lent. So even when we're not formally sitting down to pray, you see them and you can think of those people and those needs.
Sure.
I think that's pretty much it. I think just the thought that you want to give more to people, you want to commit to reading the Bible as a family if you're not already doing that. The catechism is another great tool, obviously. 5 weeks focusing maybe on the Lord's Prayer. There's 5 weeks in Lent, 5 petitions for the Lord's Prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Those are great connections that are already there that you can kind of tie in together.
What did you gain from your practice last year during Lent with the prayer sticks? Or what have you gained, or what have you seen other families gain from a practice like this?
I think just the concept that what prayer is and mm-hmm. how prayer is making our requests known to God, and how that God is always listening to our prayers. And I think for me too, I've noticed my kids are getting a little older, they're 3 and 4, and I've noticed them even in worship being more attentive when the prayers of the church, when it's that time in the liturgy,
mm-hmm.
they kind of are aware that, oh wait, this is something I can do because we do it at home together. And so they're much more, and there's nothing that'll melt your heart than a little 3-year-old with their hands folded, participating in the responsive prayer because they know it.
Our guest today, Jennifer Hills, Director of Youth and Christian Education at St. John's Lutheran Church in Alexandria, Virginia. Jennifer, thanks for being our guest on Faith and Family today.
Thank you, Andy.
Join Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Service and thousands of congregations across the country as they observe Refugee Sunday, a time to celebrate the gifts migrants and refugees bring to the United States. Pick a Sunday that works best for your congregation to celebrate. New resource kits, including bulletin insert and poster, will be available soon. Sign up for our newsletter at lirs.org/rebuildinghope.
Cross Defense, the apologetic show for inquiring minds of all ages. Cross Defense airs Mondays from 2 to 3 p.m. on air, online, on demand, right here on Worldwide KFUO.
Hi, I'm Pastor Ted Lesh, pastor at Chapel of the Cross Lutheran Church in North St. Louis County, inviting you to listen to our KFUO radio worship broadcasts on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. Active worship, preaching, music, and singing are part of every one of our services at Chapel. Join us Sunday nights at 6. It's one more broadcast worship opportunity for you from your friends at Chapel of the Cross and KFUO Radio.
Hello from Michigan. We are Roger and Leela Thurow, members of Our Savior Lutheran Church, located in Scottville, just a few miles from the Lake Michigan shoreline. For the past 3 years, Leela and I have been day sponsors on KFUO in honor of our wedding anniversary. The voice of KFUO streams into our home, bringing the blessings of programs like Law and Gospel, Thy Strong Word, Book Talk, Moments of Assurance, and many more. If the messenger of good news has blessed you, we would like to encourage you to consider becoming a KFUO day sponsor. This opportunity to be a KFUO day sponsor reminds me of the words of a great hymn. If you cannot speak like angels, if you cannot preach like Paul, you can tell the love of Jesus. You can say he died for all.
This is Mary Schmidt. To be a day sponsor, call me 314-996-1518.
Welcome back to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is Thursday, February 19th. We are in the season of Lent, the church season of Lent, and sharing some great ideas. Returning to share some ideas with us, Amanda Markle, home educator, and you can follow her at amandamarkle.com. Amanda, welcome back to Faith and Family.
Thank you.
It's good to have you back and talk about the season of Lent and what's going on in the Markle family and all that you all are doing with homeschooling today. What's going on with the season of Lent? We just said farewell to Alleluias on Sunday at church and Ash Wednesday yesterday. What are some of the activities going on in the Markle home this year?
Well, always the biggest thing we do during Lent is we have a family Jesus tree that is kind of like the Jesse tree during Advent.
Mm-hmm.
It has a daily Bible reading, and these are felt ornaments we put on a banner to go along with each Bible reading, and takes us through the life of Jesus, focuses on some of the miracles he performed, and especially as you get towards the end of Lent, focuses on the events of Holy Week.
Very good. And I have to say, I'm following along on your blog as well, and there are some pictures there which are very helpful. I encourage folks to go check it out, amandamarkle.com. Markle is M-A-R-K-E-L.com. Go check it out. There's a picture of the Jesus tree on there. It's pretty cool.
It is very cool.
Yeah. What do the kids like about it?
You know, I think part of it is just the familiarity of it coming back every year, and they look forward to seeing the ornaments and to hearing the stories. It's always fun to, you know, whose turn it is to put the ornament up on the banner. And just, you know, the whole routine of it, which is part of what's so wonderful about the church here, is that familiar routine that you know what's coming and what to expect.
Mm. Now, with that routine, you all have some traditions that in your household. What about, I know Sunday our congregation said farewell to the, or goodbye to the Alleluias. That in your family, you guys do that on Shrove Tuesday, correct?
Yes, we do. We made an Alleluia banner that is very similar to the one that we have at church.
Mm-hmm.
It has the word Alleluia written in all the liturgical colors. And it usually hangs where the Jesus tree is now hanging in our schoolroom area. And so we make a big deal out of taking that down and putting it away at the end of the day on Shrove Tuesday and getting out the Jesus tree and putting that in its place. And the almost three-year-old took it particularly hard this year, actually. She was very sad to see the Alleluias go.
Aww.
But it's good because you can see that she's getting it and starting to mm-hmm. understand the church here.
You know, what a great tradition, and I'm kind of embarrassed. It just, until you said it, I didn't realize all the colors on that banner that we have hanging up at our church are all the liturgical colors from the year. It just, until you said it, I didn't even grasp that. I just thought it was a very colorful banner.
Yeah, I assume that that's how it was meant when it was made. They certainly all fit.
right. Yeah. All the liturgical colors. Okay, so Shrove Tuesday, farewell or goodbye to the Alleluias. And it can be an emotional time. And then Ash Wednesday, any traditions in the Markle household on Ash Wednesday?
Just starting with the Jesus tree, talk about, you know, why we're doing it
mm-hmm.
and getting all of our materials ready, picking the cycle we'll go through, you know, which child's going to go first, because we mm-hmm. have a routine, you know, we pick so that it's not every day somebody's begging to go. They know what order they're going in. And then, of course, going to church is probably the big focal point of Ash Wednesday.
Absolutely. And to hear God's word, to receive it with brothers and sisters in Christ, a big highlight. Let's talk about, I see a calendar on your website, it looks like, or is it a chart?
It's a calendar.
Okay. Can you explain the calendar?
Yeah, that was new to our family last year. I realized, especially with my younger children, and I also have a son with autism, who is very focused on time, Lent is a long season. It's not quick like Advent. You know, Advent kind of, you blink and you miss it.
Yeah.
But Lent sometimes seems to kids like it's going to go on forever. And the Jesus tree is beautiful as you start putting all the ornaments on, but you really have no context for where you are in the season. So I thought, well, if I make a big calendar that we can hang up, and I made a special purple cross to put on the day that we're currently on so that they can see where we are. I put up some of the commemorations that come through the season of Lent, like the Annunciation and St. Patrick's Day and St. Joseph's Day, so that they can see those holidays coming up. And it really just helps put the whole season in perspective so that you can see where you've been, what's coming, how much more time is left. And it's just another way to kind of count down and understand the full cycle of the season of Lent.
That's great. I like that. And then Holy Week on there as well. I see that all marked out as well. That's helpful. I do appreciate the calendars and maps. I know we use My First Hymnal in Sunday school, and that has a map of the church year in it, in the front of it. And we reference that at least every church season, if not frequently, you know, almost every Sunday. We take a look at that to remember where we are in the church year. And that I think those visuals, especially with the little the images, the icons in there, are really helpful. In the colors are helpful too, in helping us understand where we are in the church year and what's coming next, especially for, as you pointed out, those children who are really time oriented.
Definitely.
Well, another picture I see on your blog, and we talked about this. I remember talking about this last year. It's cool to see a picture of it this year, and that is the candle, the Paschal candle, right?
Yes.
Tell us about that.
We've been doing that for a few years as well. I found a company that makes a Paschal candle kit that you can order, and it comes with sheets of beeswax and all of the different transfers that you need to put on it for the current year. And so on Holy Saturday, we always make this Paschal candle, and it's a fairly simple process. It involves heating the wax with a hairdryer and rolling it up carefully. And then when we get home from the Great Vigil of Easter on Holy Saturday, then we can light our family Paschal candle, just as we saw the one at church be lit as we bring the light back after the season of Lent is over.
That is a great idea. And the Paschal candle has some really cool symbols on it.
Yeah.
The liturgical and just the nature of it is really neat. The whole year, the Alpha and Omega and the year on it. That's pretty neat. Well, that's cool that you found a kit where you can make that at home. It's does it involve dipping the candle, or how do you make it?
It comes with just the sheets of beeswax are already laid out, and so you roll the first one, and then you kind of have to smooth the next one on and just keep rolling until you've gone through all of them, and the wick, of course, is in the center.
Yeah, that's cool. So you all burn this regularly? You light it and burn it?
We don't burn it a lot, just because if we burn it every time we could, it would not last the whole year, probably. We burn it a lot during the season of Easter, and then again, after we've lit all four candles on the Advent candle, then on Christmas Eve we'll light that and have that lit during the season of Christmas as well.
And it's just a one-year candle, right? So you're getting a new one for this year?
Correct.
Very cool. Very cool. I'm actually putting it on our list of fun things to do this year. Now, when do you do that?
On Holy Saturday. We do it during the day, just as kind of a preparation for that service on Holy Saturday evening. Just kind of a little preview of Easter. You know, we won't light it before church, but we put it on the table and it's ready to go. So we know that light is coming back into the world.
Very cool. We have a candle like that. We didn't make one, but we have a candle similar to that we used for our wedding. And we use it from time to time for family devotions as well. It's kind of nice. And we use our baptismal candles, those candles from our baptisms, as are representing our baptisms, it have those on each side of it, which is kind of cool, in our living room on the mantle.
Very nice.
Nice way to remember those things. All right. Any other ideas, other things that the Markle family might be doing during Lent, or other ideas you might want to share with us?
Well, you mentioned the church year a little earlier, and I often take time during Lent just to kind of go through that with my children. And the older ones are very familiar with it now, but it's still good just to go through and talk about the different times and seasons of the church year. And Lent is kind of a nice time for that. It's longer than Advent, but it's still a relatively short season. So you've just come off Christmas and Epiphany, and Easter and Pentecost aren't that far away. So it's more cohesive than trying to, you know, do it in the middle of Pentecost and remember all the way back to what Advent was like. And so we'll spend some time going through that and just talking about all the different days we celebrate and what the colors mean.
And that's a neat part about it, the colors. I bet the kids really enjoy that. I know when we have those conversations in our Sunday school that the kids are excited about changing the colors on the Sunday school altar for the current festival or season.
Definitely. And it's something that even the smallest kids can notice in church, mm-hmm. even if they don't know all the names of the colors. They can see when they come in that something has changed. And so you start telling them why, you know, why was it black in church yesterday? Why is the season of Lent purple? And it's just the little things that you can start with to help them understand the flow of the liturgical year.
And that gives, going back to what we were talking about earlier about time-oriented children or the structure that children appreciate.
Definitely.
Can be very helpful so that there are less surprises when it comes to Sunday mornings or family devotion times. There aren't a lot of surprises, or at least unpleasant surprises.
Exactly. They know what to expect. And, you know, even as adults, that can be very comforting that, it, you know, the liturgy is so familiar and you know what's coming. The church year is familiar.
Mm-hmm.
It's very comforting, I think, at all ages, but it's especially helpful with the little ones.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to go back to looking at the pictures again. I want to go back to the Jesus tree. You said that was built on the idea of the Jesse tree that you used during Advent. Was this just an idea that you developed on your own, or
did you not that creative?
Did you find some patterns for the ornaments or the pieces that go on it?
The particular one that we have was also a kit, and it came with all the felt you needed. I mean, you needed to supply your own glue and tape.
I see.
For all the cutting, but it had all the felt and all the patterns, which is good because I am not good at coming up with my own patterns for anything. But then you just have to find time to sit down and cut it out and put it together.
That was my next question.
It took a long time. I was, you know, trying to work a couple days ahead, but it took me almost all Lent to finish it the first year we used it.
So if you work on a decoration or an ornament each day, then because you put a new one on every day, correct?
Correct.
So if you work on one each day, then you're good to go, or work ahead at least by one day.
Yeah, I would recommend working ahead by at least one day. And when I was doing this one, I was pregnant with our youngest, so I wanted to make sure I was far enough ahead just in case she decided to arrive early that it would be still ready to be used even if I wasn't there to do it.
That is, looking at the picture of it, that's a lot of it's a lot of cutting. You cut all of those out, correct?
Yes, and felt is not friendly to cut. You have to make sure you cover it with tape, otherwise the edges fray.
Oh,
and then you
peel
it off when you're done cutting.
Good tip. Okay, so maybe we'll leave that one on the list of good ideas for another year.
I think them pre-made now. I think the idea has kind of grown in popularity over the last few years, and so you can buy pre-made ornaments and use them in different ways.
But there's some fun in making them, too.
Yeah, and it is.
Even when some of the things are misshapen and, a chalice really looks more like, you know, a milk jug because Daddy can't use a pair of scissors on felt, then that just creates some stories for another day for each year.
Use your imagination trying to figure out what it all is.
But imagination, definitely. Well, all great ideas. Amanda, thanks for sharing those with us. Anything else as we wrap up our conversation? I want to point people to your website, to your blog as well, amandamarkle.com.
Yep, I have a lot of stuff about Lent up there, different book suggestions and just things we've done over the past years.
Very good. I cannot read your blog on Tuesdays, though, because it always involves food, and then I'm hungry.
Well, not always. I don't always have food on Tuesdays. I definitely did for Shrove Tuesday, though.
Yes, you did. Yeah. There's a reason it's called Tasty Tuesday on your blog.
Exactly.
Well, thanks so much for being our guest again today, Amanda. It was great to talk with you and share some ideas for Lent.
Thank you.
Coming up in just a little bit, Thy Strong Word, right here on listener-supported worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Listen to Faith and Family Monday through Friday at this time. Faith and Family is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for Faith and Family to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Faith and Family at KFUO.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.